This is episode 745 of the AWS podcast, released on November 10th, 2025.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the AWS podcast. So I'm Lish here with you. Great to have you back. And I'm joined by two very special guests today. Firstly, I'm joined by Brian Moore, who is a cloud architect with Occidental Petroleum in Houston, Texas. Occidental is also known as Oxy. He leads Oxy's cloud computing practices and has spearheaded strategy and adoption of AWS at Oxy. He's also passionate about evangelizing DevOps culture and finding better ways to automate everything. Sounds like a man after my own heart. Welcome to the podcast, Brian.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. We're also joined by Chris Spitzenberger, who is a senior solutions architect here at AWS, also worked very closely with Oxy on this and knows a bunch of stuff that's really relevant. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Also glad to be here.
Awesome. Now, we're going to talk about some cool stuff today. We're going to talk a bit about a cloud transition, an approach that was taken rapidly and at pace. But before we do that, Brian, tell us just a little bit about Oxy for our global audience so they understand a little bit about your organization, what you were dealing with in terms of the transformation.
Sure. So yeah, Oxy is an oil and gas company based in Houston, Texas. We also do chemicals. There's OxyChem is another subsidiary. So like, I think we're like the largest PVC producer in the world. We also do carbon capture business. So that's another subsidiary. So yeah, we have operations all around the world, like Oman, Algeria, South America. So yeah, we're definitely have a global footprint, and that's where, you know, the need for digital transformation around the globe really drove the need for us to move into the cloud, because traditionally we were all prepared for a very long time.
Interesting. And I guess that's the thing, is that, you know, it's a very common situation that you grow to a certain level and you do a lot of great work, especially globally, and the overhead of managing all that becomes quite challenging, I'm assuming.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, the disruptivity, moving to a more scalable way of doing things, that also create a lot of challenges for us in just terms of scaling and the way we work. So I know we started on Azure initially, and, you know, that's where we got started in Terraform, but it was a very small team operating that way for many years. And like, you know, we decided to move to AWS, and that created this sort of call to action. Hey, we need to make this same transformation across the enterprise, across all of the IT department. So that's where, you know, we start going, okay, we need to find a more scalable way to set up all these AWS accounts. For example, like, we have a really amazing data architect, Jamie Johnston. He's driven the adoption of this data mesh architecture, but it requires like tons and tons of AWS accounts. Yeah. And we needed to solve the problem. Like, we're expecting so many, like hundreds of AWS accounts over time, and we need to automate this process. We need to make sure we can keep AWS accounts, you know, consistent, have a repeatable pattern, and be able to maintain that pattern, and, you know, iterate on it. And so that's where, hey, we do everything with Terraform. We love Terraform. We try to apply Terraform where we can. And so there's an offering, you know, AWS Account Factory for Terraform, where you have a Terraform framework for calling Control Tower to spin up an AWS account, but then also provision all these baseline resources, depending on what kind of account it is. You know, whether it's, you know, more public facing or internal facing, like you might get a different network architecture, you know, production versus sandbox, et cetera. So we've got a very useful, you know, bringing our existing Terraform skill set to bear in using that.
And let's talk about that, because you've obviously mentioned the fact that, you know, you're very passionate about automating things, et cetera. And it's always tempting to write your own tooling and your own scripting, et cetera. And you've adopted Terraform, which I know a lot of organizations have as well. What was, you know, there's many pathways, and none of the pathways are wrong or right. They're just different pathways. What helped you choose, you know, Terraform, this approach, and also, I guess, the multi-account approach you were taking as well?
Yeah. I mean, with Terraform, it's like, it's sort of the key to the city in the cloud. Like, everyone does Terraform. Like, you learn Terraform, it takes you to so many places. And like, if you try to do like an in-house script, because I know our IT department has gone down that path of like, oh, have an internal framework to do something, and like, it's bit them forever because like, they have to maintain it. And like, yeah, it's
hard work.
Lessons have been learned in the past. of let's not go down that road again. Let's go with the gold standard. Let's go with what we know works, what we're going to support from AWS. And like, we continue to get new releases of AFT from AWS, new features, bug fixes. And so it's a big load off of our shoulders. I think actually Chris had initially given us the idea for AFT.
Is it all your fault, Chris?
Yeah, it probably is. You know, I was working in AWS professional services at the time. We're a team worker with Oxy, the mass migration project. I believe we were the ones who ultimately recommended AFT. It's a solution maintained by the AWS Control Tower service team. And it, of course, allows you to use Terraform, like Brand said. Pretty nifty. It's work well.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing here is there's always this sort of tension, for want of a better word, between using a generalist tool that can work across everything versus getting access to key capabilities of a particular platform or cloud or capability or what have you. And so I guess with this, Brian, you've been able to sort of combine the both, whereas, you know, it's hooking deeply into what you can do within Control Tower, et cetera. But from a user perspective, it's Terraform. It's like, it's familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's a skill that we know, but it's a general framework to run any code that we want. And AFT has lots of different hooks. Like, I know, so we have another team that maintains, you know, Azure DevOps and like, okay, you want Git repository and Azure DevOps project. I mean, yeah, I know Azure DevOps is kind of old, but we'll move to GitHub eventually. But it's like Kotlin. I was like, hey, you know, if someone wants to get started with, you know, Git repository projects, boards, and like, okay, connections from that to your AWS account, like, you know, have an automated process to do that. Well, that's where we had, okay, AFT has these lifecycle hooks. They're called provisioning customizations, but that's where you basically can add a step function and say, hey, you know, a new AWS account got created, and we just hooked it up to HashiCorp Vault. That's another product we have, and, you know, need to communicate that to the platform engineering sort of DevOps framework, so they can hook things up on their side. So there's all kinds of opportunities to say, okay, yeah, here you control the baseline stuff that gets set up in the account, but then also notifications, events via forwarded to other places as well.
So rather than being, I guess, a generic thing, it's really letting you have that flexibility to give
your users
what they want and what they need.
Yes. Yeah, like there's definitely been like times where we've had to customize AFT a little bit, just in like terms of, okay, like the baseline was kind of assuming, you know, it's mostly assuming that you're working within the same region as the, like the Control Tower home region. It was like, okay, you know, like, this would work a little bit better if I made it so, oh, when I specify my AWS account, I want to just arbitrarily say, oh, well, it's going to be set up in this many different regions with this many different default VPCs. And that's what we had to do, like a little bit of finagling. Like, okay, the information that the code build passes to the Terraform configuration, let's mess with the provider.tf a little bit to make that easier. Otherwise,
do what you want to do.
Work. Yeah.
So let's talk about, I guess, from a process perspective. You sort of touched on the fact that you can kind of vend things pretty quickly and what people need. But what does this look like in terms of, I guess, the speed and efficiency of the way Oxy works and the migration to the cloud? Like, what did it help with?
From an end user perspective, like there were days when like, hey, this one team, I'm talking about the it's called ODAP, is the data mesh architecture, but like someone would literally request like 10 AWS accounts or something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, okay, you know, we're waiting on this, to set up, you know, dev stage prod, accounts for, you know, a couple of different groups. And, you know, like we could turn around very quickly, just like, okay, got your requirements and just basically copy-pasting some Terraform configuration code where we define our accounts, and it's just very easy. We actually have a little bit of code generation even for that to make it really streamlined. So like it was just very rapid turnaround, and not just initial standing up, because sometimes, you know, like you're not going to get everything right the first time.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, you know, we started out with decentralized VPC endpoints, where we had VPC endpoints set up in individual accounts, but then it's like, okay, well, we need to migrate to more of a centralized architecture to save cost, because we didn't want to pay for, you know, so many VPC endpoints in every single AWS account, whether it was being used or not. Okay, let's consolidate into a more centralized approach. I think that's more best practice. And then that created an impact for, okay, well, now we've got this new version of the account pattern, and now we've got to roll it out. And then we've got, like, you know, at that point, if you have 150 AWS accounts, now we got to rerun the apply, you know, across all of those. And that made it really easy.
That's amazing. And I guess the other thing is also from an organizational perspective, one of the most frustrating things of doing any project is waiting for other teams to do what they need to do.
Yeah.
And so not being that sort of bottleneck of, you know, I can't move forward till my accounts are created, but my accounts are taking too long. Like, you're just eliminating that frustration.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So it, I guess in our organization, like in practice, it kind of moves the bottleneck elsewhere, but at least it's not us.
Well, look, life is moving bottlenecks around, really. But
I know, you know, exactly.
You're eventually trying to smooth things out as well as possible. In fact, one of the things that I thought was interesting was you touched on that piece of not wanting to have sort of too many, you know, networking components going on. And you really automated this a lot. How did you use AFT to standardize your networking? Was it just don't create these things, or was there more robustness that you want to build in about the network strategy?
Whenever we define the AWS account, we say, okay, is this going to be a public facing account? We call a certain pattern. Is this a sandbox account? We call a certain pattern. But basically that each one of those patterns calls our Terraform modules. So we use Terraform Cloud to host Terraform modules, and the modules will define like the standard networking Terraform. So like, okay, I'm going to make a VPC. It's going to have, you know, three availability zones by default. It's going to have a subnet in each availability zone, like the private subnets, transit gateway subnets. So we kind of planned out this standard network architecture for an application account.
So basically, it's making it easy to just repeat, rinse and repeat. And I guess, Chris, maybe you want to jump in here and talk about, you know, what was going on with the networking component, but also maybe a little bit more about AFT and why you even talked about AFT with Oxy.
Yeah, definitely. From a networking perspective, that's one of my favorite things about working with the AFT. When you're stamping out, you know, these accounts, what are the fundamental things you need when working at AWS, typically, maybe not always, you know, as a VPC and subnets, if you want to work with compute resources, typically you need those things. But anyways, one of the things we were doing with AFT through the customizations feature, you know, we can mention those different patterns. The terminology in AFT is customizations. So we had different, you know, customizations for different scenarios. We, you know, first deploy the VPC and deploy the subnets. But what was happening is we were actually leveraging the AWS IPAM IP address management feature and, you know, dynamically leasing IP space for the VPC, you know, using that lease space and, you know, subnetting it out. So these things were happening dynamically. So basically at the account request level, you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, the management of all your, you know, overlapping CIDRs, no more spreadsheets. You know, you can just say, I want to, you know, /23 DPC. And then, you know, even as simple as that, you know, passing it into our module, which then knows how to interpolate that, into subnets, you know, and break it down. But taking that a step further, something that I really, am proud of that we did is we actually set up, an integration with Palo Alto Panorama. So, you know, based on account tags, we could actually create firewall rules for that VPC and basically tag things and dynamically set up that entire VPC into our, you know, network inspection process, which is a pretty cool integration. So not only were we, you know, deploying the VPC, deploying the subnets, you know, all the other standards that we're deploying with the account, but we're also, you know, setting things up in Panorama. So, you know, we are no you know, what to expect, and, you know, we can lock down that traffic even further. So really
secure by default is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Although, like, sometimes we've encountered challenges, like the Panorama integration is an interesting example, because so like the Panorama integration is great. And then recently there was sort of an incident where, you know, someone didn't really realize that the CIDRs are being integrated and managed by Terraform. And so like someone was in the Panorama console doing clickoffs, and like, oh, well, I need to move the device group around. Like, you know, we got to rearrange things. So like someone's like sat down and spent like 4 hours in the console moving like 600 objects in the Panorama, and like it just completely broke any connection. Like now Terraform, and this is across hundreds of workspaces, because every account is two workspaces, but one of them, but I know I didn't tell you about this, but it's caused so much pain. But like, make sure everyone knows that it's managed by Terraform, like lock it down. We're actually looking at some way in Panorama to like define a policy like, hey, like you can't touch this. Like we can't make those teams use Terraform.
Yeah.
We don't manage everybody's stuff.
Yeah.
But like at least, you know, lock yourself down from being able to manage this because it's being managed by Terraform. But
well, I guess the good thing is the fact that it is managed by Terraform means you know what it looked like before someone click-opted it.
yes, exactly. That has helped.
But and I guess, Brian, this touches on something I wanted to ask is, you know, what are some of the lessons you learned about, I guess, cloud adoption and Terraform and AFT that others could benefit from? Obviously, you know, don't click-ops or reduce click-ops as much as possible, which is a good practice anyway, because...
Yes.
I often say if you're doing it in the console, you're probably doing it wrong.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, you know, well, the first thing, block people from touching the resources that AFT manages. So, like, we introduced a tag managed by AFT. So, there's an SCP that basically, I think it's permissions boundary. I think we put in the permissions boundary. You can't touch anything that's managed by AFT. Yeah. You know, I talked about the provider. So, like, I think there was a recent enhancement to the AWS Terraform provider where with a single AWS provider, you can do multiple regions. But historically, that hasn't been the case. Like for every region that you want to use, you had to find a separate AWS provider block. But like, you know, that was so recent that we couldn't really benefit from it. Because instead, we were having to do like dynamic Jinja code generation to generate different provider blocks for every AWS region.
And I guess that's a classic thing of, you know, working in the cloud and working with cloud-based tools is they evolve. evolve when people say, hey, I don't want to do it this way anymore. And it's not like, well, sucks to be you. It's like, oh, great. We'll make a change and get a new version that has what you need.
Yeah. But at least, you know, having things defined as code makes you more resilient to change and able to manage change. Yeah.
And speaking of that, you know, culturally, how have you worked within Oxy to help other folks kind of embrace this, you know, passion for automation and repeatability, et cetera? What have you found works in terms of helping people adjust maybe their mindset around how to operate?
Sure. Yeah. I've had lunch and learns and presentations that I've given to people. That helps at a high level of, okay, from a high level, where are we coming from? It helps as an icebreaker, I found. Now people say, oh, you've explained it in a way that made sense at a high level. But at some point, you have to get hands on keyboard. And that usually, in my experience, that involves just like sitting down with someone and kind of pair programming with them, helping them, hey, you know, okay, you need to build something. Let's sit down together and do it. Because, you know, unless you learn to do it yourself, you're never going to take ownership of it. But so we had a lot of, I guess, failed starts in that, like people thinking, okay, well, we'll just get this done really quickly, and then they'll keep it going, but then it kind of fizzles out and maybe comes back to the DevOps team, which I think is kind of an organizational anti-pattern, but it's a lot of work. So we've had, you know, sort of an enterprise infrastructure as code program where we train people on how to use our code landing zones. The code landing zones is basically a framework for, you know, getting everyone bootstrapped with like a best practices Terraform repository that has a connection to your AWS account and has pipelines that are deployed to AWS. There's just been a lot of training.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you got to show people and see what the difference is. And it's, I think if you can show people that it makes their jobs easier and faster, you're going to get adoption. If it's just seen as more complicated, then you're not going to get adoption. So it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, you got to prove the value. It takes time, and there's been a lot of skepticism, but over time, like it wins out. Like it's just cannot manage all this stuff at scale.
That's the point, isn't it? At some point, there's too many things to look after, and if you're trying to keep it in a spreadsheet or in your head, you're going to make mistakes. Like stuff's going to go wrong.
Exactly.
Stuff always goes wrong, but if it's in source control, it makes life a lot easier.
Yeah, you can roll it back.
Exactly. Brian, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing us a bit about your journey. It's always great to hear from customers who can tell the story from a position of reality. You know, we did it, we used it, it had benefits, there was challenges, we overcame the challenges. You know, welcome to IT.
Thank you.
And Chris, thanks for sharing with us the genesis of the idea. And it's must be quite satisfying for you to see a customer like this, you know, really automating and moving forward with this technology.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm really proud of seeing them go from 0 to 100, quite literally, really 100 plus.
Yeah, 300 plus at this point.
It's fantastic. And so thanks a lot for coming on as well. And for those of you who want more information, there's links in the show notes about how AFT works and things you might want to think about. And of course, until next time, keep on building.